Tell the news that Christ has come. Tell the news, tell the news, tell the news to everyone. Tell the news, tell the news that Christ has come. Tell the news, tell the news, tell the news to
Now let us sing, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. It's number 6 in your program. O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.
Guide them in the homeward way.
the sins are shining red. Pour down the future's warping away in peace that only the canst give with thee, O Master.
This afternoon, we're to hear from one of our missionaries who spends her life, practically all of it, in Nigeria working with our young people there in the WMU work. She works with the Girls Auxiliary and the Lydias, the name that Nigeria and WMU has given to the girls, the age we've called YWAs and now called Baptist Young Women. Miss Anita Roper of Georgia, Southern Baptist gift to Nigeria, is a faculty member at Reagan Memorial Baptist Girls School in Yaba, which is a suburb of Lagos. She teaches Bible and then directs the work with these young people in the WMU organizations. It is seldom that she fails to go to a meeting of Baptist women on that continent or anywhere. And I understand she is planning to go to Stockholm next year after she gets back to Nigeria to be with the women who will be going from the continent of Africa. The women of Nigeria love Anita Roper, and she loves them. She will speak to us on the subject, A World Away. And our benediction will be the Lord's Prayer, sung by Irene Jordan.
Today, Americans are seeing the world. When I meet Americans and I hear them tell the experiences that they have had as they have traveled around the world, I'm often reminded that they haven't been to the part of the world in which I live. For many people, Africa is a world away. It is off the beaten track. This afternoon, I want you, especially the ACT teams, to go with me to meet young people in that other world, in the country of Nigeria. They're not called ACT teams, but GAs. However, these young people are like you. They are searching for truth. They want to know the true Christ. For them, there is no pretense. One of the ways in which they come to know Christ more fully is through the mission action activities which we have in our school. The most often asked question is, what will we do for our next mission action project? They like to go to the old people's home, to the blind center, to the mental hospital. It was at the mental hospital that Moji felt that she could communicate with these sick women. As we listened to their prayer requests, they had such requests as, pray for me that I may get my health back. Ask God to take care of my children. And many times, please pray that my husband will not take another wife while I'm here in this hospital. Moji saw the agony of their hearts. And as she saw this agony, she remembered her own time of trial. She came from a polygamous home. This meant that in her home, there was more than one wife and many children. She was the only child of her mother, and she felt that her mother was the only person who loved her. One day, she had a stomach ulcer. She could not eat the hot, peppery food of Nigeria, and so her mother had to prepare special food. Whenever Moji came to high school, she look forward to her mother's weekly visit when she would bring cornflakes and milk and other foods that she could eat. One afternoon, Moji's aunt came to the school. She brought the message that Moji's mother had died. There had not been time for them to tell Moji to come home because her mother was sick. It was a very sudden illness and death. It was a terrible shock to Moji. Whenever the GAs in our school tried to comfort her by telling her that Jesus loved her and that he would comfort her, she became rebellious. And she said, "Don't tell me that Jesus Christ loves me. If Christ loved me, he would not have taken my mother away from me when I needed her so much." Every Friday, we have a Bible study and prayer meeting. The first name that was usually called for prayer was that of Moji. Her friends prayed with her and talked to her week after week. And then one morning at 2 a.m., as some of her friends were praying with her, she came to know Jesus Christ as her Savior. There was joy in the morning when she accepted the Lord, Jesus Christ, as her Savior. And so as she listened to these women, she told them her own story of the Christ who brought comfort to her heart, who brought peace and joy. And she told them that he would also do that for them if they would trust him. Oftentimes our girls go to Sabo Market. It's a big marketplace, row after row of stalls. And many times some of them will not go because they say the people abuse us. They take tracts, their Bibles, and their hymnals. They divide into groups and they go from the one end of the row of stalls to the other, witnessing for Christ. Sometimes they will meet Muslim traders, and these traders like to ask difficult questions, and the girls sometimes cannot answer them because they're very young in their Christian faith, but they depend upon Christ to give them the answer that they should give. Other times, some of the women will throw water on them because they want to get rid of them. They don't want to listen. But still, others will listen to the story of Jesus. And oftentimes, whenever the girls invite them to come to church, and they say they will come on Sunday or Wednesday night, the girls look for them. We have, on Sunday morning, around 800 people in our church service at Yaba, and the girls find those who have promised to come if they're willing to come. And there's so much joy as they find these people to whom they have witnessed, as they bring them to me or to another teacher to say, "This is the person that I won to Christ," or "This is the person I witnessed to." There is no greater joy than that for these GAs in Nigeria. Our young people work in the village churches. Peju was a girl who came to us from eastern Nigeria, and she worked in Iwaya Baptist Church, in Sunday school, and as a Sunbeam leader. She had accepted Christ as her Savior when she was in an elementary school, a Baptist elementary school in Port Harcourt. She went to the inquirer's class, and they voted that she could be baptized. When Paige went home, she was so excited. She immediately told her parents, "I want you to come with me tomorrow and see me baptized at the Baptist church." She was so excited that she forgot that her parents were Muslims. And her father immediately said, "No daughter of mine can be baptized. You're a Muslim. You're supposed to stay as a Muslim." And she began to beg him to let her be baptized the next day. But he said, "No, you're still my daughter. I will not permit you to be a Christian." She knew there was no need to argue anymore. So she went to her room and she prayed. The next morning, as soon as they had eaten breakfast, her father said, "Paige, go to your room. I'm going to lock you up in your room all day long, because I know that if I let you out, those Christians will persuade you to be baptized, and you're not going to be baptized." Paige was heartbroken. She sat down in her room to read her Bible and to pray. There was no way that she could get out of her room by herself. In the late afternoon, she heard someone at her door. And when she went to the door, it was her mother. Her mother was holding out the white dress that Paige would need for her baptismal service. And she said, "Paige, when the sun goes down, I will unlatch the shutter on your window and you can slip away and be baptized." Paige was so happy, she danced all over that room saying, thank you, Lord, for giving a miracle to me today." She was filled with joy. You see, the Lord had worked in the heart of her mother, and her mother, though she was Muslim, was willing for her to be baptized. When it was sundown, she heard her mother unlatch the shutter. And shortly after that, she climbed out the window and went to the Baptist church to be baptized. She didn't get there on time, but she was there in time for her own baptism. Then she came home, crawled in the window, and her father never knew it. A few months later, she came to Lagos, to our Baptist Girls High School. And one of the first things that she did was to come to me as the GA director and say, "Please, Miss Roper, Christ has done so much for me that I want to do something for him, to show him how much I love him. I want to teach or to work with the children. Will you help me to find a place of service here in our area?" And I said, "Paige, there is a church in a village that is 2 miles from here. There's no public transport, and so you have to walk 2 miles in the hot sun during the dry season and 2 miles back. During the rainy season, you'll have to walk during the rains. I don't assign this to girls. It is only those who volunteer who go to this village. Won't you pray about it?" And she said, "No, I don't need to pray. I want to serve Christ in that village." Week after week, during her 5 years in our school, Paige walked those 4 miles every Sunday morning to share Christ with the children in that church. One Sunday morning, as she was going to church during the rainy season, a truck came by. It hit a pothole, and of course the water splashed all over her. Her white dress was spoiled. She was upset because she had a spoiled dress, and she decided that she would go back to the school. It wasn't enough that she had to walk in the rain, but now her dress was spoiled. And so, disgustedly, she turned and went back to the school, toward the school. But as she was going, something in her heart said, "Paige, remember what Christ has done for you. What are those children going to do today when they come to Sunday school and there's no one to teach them? Is it too much to ask of you to go to church in a mud-splattered dress?" She walked a few steps more, and then she turned around and went to the village church. Never again did she turn back on the work that God had called her to do during those years in high school. GAs in Nigeria like mission study also. They like to learn of people in other lands, and especially of ways in which people are one to Christ. We had a mission study class in our school. This class, this book was on the stewardship of life. One of the girls who came to that class was called Funlayo. Funlayo was a Christian. She passed a step in GA every year. She went to all of our mission action projects. She was active. But Funlayo was not a happy Christian. She did not have the glow, the radiance that a true Christian has. She was searching. And she came to the mission study class searching for the answer to the problem in her own life. At the close of the mission study class, the teacher showed them a chart on which she had drawn three hearts. The first heart she called the sinner's heart, and outside of that heart, she placed the cross representing Jesus Christ. And she told the girls that Christ could not live in the sinner's heart. It was only when the sin was pushed out that Christ could come into that heart. And inside the heart, she had marks which showed confusion, unhappiness. There was no peace or joy. The second heart she called the worldly heart. She placed the cross at the bottom of the heart because she said, this person has accepted Christ as her Savior, but she has not completely committed her life to Him, and so there's still no peace and joy. She wants to be like everybody else. She wants to do everything that the people of the world do, and so she has no Christian witness, no peace, no joy, still conflict in that heart. The third heart was the spiritual heart, and at the center of that heart, she placed the cross. Inside, she placed marks which showed that everything was in order, everything was under control. Christ was given first place. He was on the throne of that person's heart. After the mission study class, Funlayo lingered. I went to her and I asked her, Funlayo, did you understand what the teacher was saying today? And she said, yes. I said, are you sure that you are a Christian? Are you sure that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And she said, yes. And she told me when she had accepted Christ as her Savior. And then I asked her, what is your problem? Why aren't you a happy Christian? And she said, it's because I am a worldly Christian. I have accepted Christ, but I really don't belong to Him because I'm still going my own way. We went to a quiet place, and there we prayed. As she prayed, she cried. She prayed one of the most beautiful prayers of surrender that I have ever heard. Now, this did not mean that Funlayo was going to be a missionary or a full-time religious worker. It meant that she was going to live for Christ every day, at school, at home, wherever she was. Christ was to be first in her life, and she discovered Him to be a real person. And when this discovery was made, her life was filled with peace and joy. This is the message that I bring you from the young people in Nigeria. It's best summarized in 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. From the Living Bible. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. All these new things are from God, who brought us back to Himself through what Jesus Christ did. And God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into His favor and be reconciled to Him. For God was in Christ, restoring the world to Himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out. This is the wonderful message He has given us to tell others. And so as we listen to our world, to people a world away in Nigeria, they are saying, peace and joy come through knowing Jesus Christ, not only as Savior, but also as Lord.
Mrs. Mathis did me the honor of offering me time to tell you about my recent visit to Nigeria. All I can say at this late hour is that it was one of the thrilling experiences of my life, and that the miracles of mercy that our missionaries do there are comparable to our Lord's miracle of feeding the 5,000 with so little. They do so much. Let us pray for them now as I sing our Lord's Prayer.
Temptation.